La troisième étoile du match ce soir de Thursday, le Vandal!
Yeah, there he is, Al's brother, and Al's brother's power rankings are brought to you by Doer, the world's most comfortable pants. Shop online at doer.ca/TO. That's doer.ca/TO, and use promo code TSN1050 to save 15%. Someone sent me an Instagram DM over the weekend saying, love Al's brother, love his power rankings, and I just bought my second pair of Doer pants. Loves the pants.
Wow.
So, love it.
Al's brother, man, you can run a 40, you can vert, you can run a 200, you can hammer out a power ranking, and you can sell a pair of pants. How you feeling after Friday's 200 meter?
Not 100%, I can tell you that. Definitely, over the weekend, my upper body is a lot more sore than the lower half. I think that's just because of all the movement that I do up top. But, yeah, I'm not feeling as bad as I did after the 40, so I think that's progress, right?
I think you're training your body to get back into, you know, the run of things here. And yeah, your upper body, you really get moving.
Yeah.
Violent.
Really.
It's a violent stroke. That's what you have there.
My lats just get it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It hurts. It burns a bit.
I want to see, like, Jonas, you can fly. I bet you Jonas could run it in under 30 seconds.
I don't know, man. The 200?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, yeah. I don't know what Olympic athletes run.
I think the world record's probably like 21 or something, 23 maybe.
In that range, yeah.
You know, something like
35
that.
35 seconds for Jonas.
I think 35.
The hair would be flowing, though. Yes. The hair would be flowing, for sure.
You'd have the John McEnroe headband.
No, I get the headband. That's what I use, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be motoring.
Short shorts, yeah, yep. You'd be flying.
All right. Well, what are we doing this week here, Al's brother? I think I may have sold you a little bit short in terms of trying to define the power rankings. So tell us what we're doing today.
Yeah, so we're going outside the box a little bit, outside of the country. We're going to do league-wide top storylines heading into the NHL playoffs, or the most compelling storylines throughout the playoffs. So I decided to kind of leave like COVID aside, because I think everyone could agree that would be the number one, right? COVID lurking. So without, you know, COVID itself as being in this list, what else are the compelling storylines throughout the league?
Okay, I like it. Beautiful. Right. This is going to be great. All right, let's get started. What are we doing? 7-1 here again?
Yep.
Okay, start number 7. Most compelling Stanley Cup playoff storylines according to Al's brother.
Well, my 7th one coming in, I've entitled it Parity at its Finest. I think you take a look at the matchups we got going on, incredible parity. Like, these teams are fantastic. All 4 of the games this weekend were all one-goal games, 3 of them going to overtime, and we were a Braden Point moment away from going to overtime again to go 4-for-4. It's got incredible intensity, pace, and the competition is so close. So I think the parity between these teams is really something that I think is a storyline here, something that we don't get to see all that often. And you look at the matchups that are just intriguing in general, right? The Leafs, Habs, they've got that great history. It's being coined as the tax-free tussle as the Tampa and Florida series.
Yep.
Who's coming out of the East? Who's going to come out of the West, the Central? There's just so much parity in this playoff matchup.
I like it, and I can't really disagree. Like, you know, there are certainly favorites as of right now. I think Tampa would be one of them, but I wouldn't be shocked if Florida knocked them out. I think the Eastern Division is a complete crapshoot. Pittsburgh, New York, Washington, Boston. I like Colorado and Vegas, but look where Vegas is at right now. I like the Leafs in Edmonton, but there's no guarantee. So I think you're off and running here. I like it at number 7. What do you have at number 6, Al's brother?
I'm thinking, is this the Penguins' final run? That's what's sticking in my mind right here. I take a look at Geno Malkin and Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang. It's kind of their last kick at the can, right? And as a Canadian, you always kind of are intertwined in what's happening with Sidney Crosby. So that's kind of a storyline that's really stuck with me throughout the last little bit. I think at midseason when they had their front office reshuffle, you had Brian Burke in and kind of said, we're going to reassess things throughout the year and see what happens. I think he's got to be happy with what he saw.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is an aging team and probably on the decline. So could this be the last chance for them to win it?
Isn't Malkin up after this year and Letang, or is that one more year? I think it's pretty soon.
Actually, it might be. Malkin might be up.
Malkin, I don't believe, is up this year. He wasn't on the free agent list that just got released.
Then he's got
TSM.
One more, I guess?
Yeah, I think he's got at least one more.
I don't disagree with you, Al's brother, though, as far as like it feels like with this core and the age and where they're at, like this could be their last kick at the can doesn't mean that they can't retool, and you know, guys like Rusk and you know Bluger and Gensel and all of those guys, like Kasperi Kapanen with a bullet yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw that.
That, like, that shot needs to be stopped, doesn't it, Jamie?
Well, it was a bit of a screen. I know that, and I know he doesn't play on the Leafs, so you don't have to give him the pom poms anymore. But like he was a. I thought it was a bullet post in and like off the post and in. But you're right. At that, here's what I would why I agree with you, Jonas, is that you just scored to go ahead. Like that's the game. Like I thought the minute they scored, because it was a bad goal on Jerry that went through the body. I'm like, that's 4-3. Game's over right there. Or 3-3, sorry. Or
yeah, 3-3, and the 4-3 was 3-3. The OT winner.
Yeah, I'm like, that's over right there. Mm-hmm. Like, because the Islanders are just going to blanket the hell out of them. And Kapanen comes right down the next shift and scores off the pole. Like, I was shocked at that.
Okay, so here, we got to get cooking here a little bit. Yeah, number five, the playoff storylines, courtesy of Al's brother. Go ahead.
McDavid's encore. After posting 105 points in the regular season, what type of encore can he have in the playoffs? I think we're all going to be looking into seeing what he can do as a follow-up to this amazing historical regular season. And it's, what, the second time he's been in the playoffs?
Yep.
So I think McDavid's encore is definitely a big time.
Yeah, this would have been higher for me personally. I think McDavid is still he's the performer of the playoffs. The performer. He just put together, statistically, era adjusted, allegedly the best offensive
season.
You like
those adjusted stats?
I saw that over the weekend. That adjusted stats, it's the best thing we've ever seen.
Just going to tweak that here.
I would probably come up with a different formula personally, but it was a remarkable season. I mean, what the guy has done has just been incredible. It's must see TV every single night. And as great players, there's going to be great series. But for me, what does Connor McDavid do? I think the league needs to be driving that storyline. That should be their priority. What does this guy do come playoff time? Because he's been a blast during the regular season.
I think you also, this may be a little bit recency bias because the Canadian teams haven't played yet. Meanwhile, we've had these other teams play, and we're kind of now all have the eyes on what's going on down south because we're watching these series fall out.
Right.
So maybe the whole McDavid storyline kind of got put a little bit to the wayside because there's just so much other things that we're interested in because they haven't played or won't be playing for a bit.
Won't be playing until Wednesday night. Okay, so you got McDavid at five. These are the top seven storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs. What do you have at number four?
Big Z versus the Spoked Bees.
Wow.
I think Zdeno Chara going back to Boston.
Ahead of McDavid.
I think this is great. Like I said, I think it also might just be a little bit of recency bias, but still, Zdeno Chara going back to the Garden, I think it's what, game three, they're going to be going back in a couple of days. I think that's going to be must-see TV. He is going to be on one that night. It's already going to be a physical series as is because it's Boston and Washington, two super intense teams. But once those two get going, and Zdeno Chara, I think, brings that whole physicality to a total another level. So I'm excited to watch that matchup.
And fans in the stands, right? Like, it got announced today, I think, May 29th, like, Fenway's wide open. Now, that's outdoors. I get that. It's different. It's outdoors. But we're a week away from the States basically saying we're not doing this anymore. Like, that's kind of what it feels like. And you're right, because he's been back, but there was no one in the building.
Will they boo him or no?
No way.
I don't think so.
No chance.
No?
I don't see it. I mean, if he's going back to Philly, they would. If he does something stupid, he might.
Yeah, like he was roughing up Pasternak. Like that's the thing. Like I could see him getting a cheer, and then all of a sudden he gives somebody the forearm shiver.
A heel turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they said see you, right, in the summer. So, I mean, it's personal for him, the series.
No, that's going to be a good one. That'll be a good storyline. All right, what do you have at number three?
Can the Leafs get over the hump, I think, is a massive storyline, especially here within Toronto. But I think they have the easiest path to the cup that they've had in years, possibly ever, right? They just got to get through Canada, and then it's the Final Four. Anything can happen. They haven't won a playoff round in, since 2003, 2004? 2004. And I think this is the best team that we've seen. They've completely rechanged their identity, and they've got a bunch of cup chasers, too, that you just want to root for. You know, you got Jumbo, Spezza, I don't believe Simmons.
The inspiration line.
The inspiration line, exactly. Then you add in Nick Foligno, and like there's just so many fantastic stories here in terms of individual players that you want to root for. So I think the Leafs, can they get over the hump of the playoffs that they haven't been able to do in the past years? And maybe all those tweaks that they've made throughout the course of the year, will that actually work? and allow them to go farther.
Yep. I can't argue. I look at it clearly through a different lens. But I think if you are just a hockey fan, period, that's a big storyline. Like, the Leafs have won the division. They've had a great year. They're completely healthy, which almost scares me a little bit in like a superstitious way. But they've also got the demons, you know, like that. Their history still hangs over this team. I know it's different players, different coach, different GM, all that kind of stuff. You gotta win it. You gotta prove that you're different. Just because you were different during the regular season is irrelevant come Thursday night. It's on them to prove it. Yeah. All right, so we're down to number two and number one. We'll come back and we'll reveal your top two storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That is how you tease a segment. That is how you build it up, is you get down to number two and you let Al's brother just take a quick breather. It's like, we just ran the 200 and we're going to run the 40 and finish this bad boy, wrapping up Al's brother's power rankings. All right, so we are continuing with the power rankings, courtesy of Al's brother. We're going through the top storylines of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we're all the way down to number two. So we have two left here. Al's brother, you've run off a bunch of storylines that I think a lot of people are certainly thinking themselves, and you've already gone through the Leafs, you've already gone through McDavid, gone through Big Z taking on the Bruins. I'm trying to figure out what's left here for the final two power rankings. What do you have at number two?
At number two, there's so many question marks going on with the goalie position, to me. Like, there's, whether it's injury concerns with Price and Varlamov, you've got, can Cam Talbot and Mike Smith keep it going on their renaissance seasons? There are so many tandems. You got to flip a coin on who's going to start each and every night. I think you guys were talking about it earlier before you got to Ray. There might only be like three, maybe four goalies who you actually believe in as like the team's clear-cut number one goaltender. And I think that's just like super fascinating when you think about the position and how it's so important.
Oh, it's ultimately going to determine what happens.
Exactly.
Right. It will. Right?
Like,
for
the
sure.
Goaltending. Like, that's it come Thursday night, is when everything shakes down. And there's so many different components that have to factor in, of course. Things have to go your way. But Jack Campbell is going to hold the success of this team in his hands in a lot of ways.
100%.
Right? Sure. Like, if he's overwhelmed or, like, that, wait, you talk about an overreaction. Friday morning in this city, if Jack Campbell doesn't play well and they lose, Jonas will be writing articles and we'll be talking about it all day on the station.
Expected goals, for sure.
Oh, you'll be going nuts. I mean, that'll be the storyline, right?
Yeah.
That's how thin the margin is, right?
Yeah.
It is, but you need goaltending in the playoffs, and that's the truth. Like, there might be times where the team helps you out and outscores something, but as we see in the playoffs, everything's tighter. And I still believe that is the biggest storyline, and the most amount of pressure is going to be on Jack Campbell coming in, because there's no sample size. There's nothing to draw off of. This will be his first playoff start on a team with high expectations, and all eyes will be on him. Then we'll see how he handles it.
Yep. We'll find out come Thursday night and beyond, right? It's not only about the one game.
Like, yeah, no, it's multiple.
You can get to a point where you're going into a game seven, and Jack Campbell's, he's your guy, yeah, at that point.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. It is the ultimate storyline, the number one storyline, according to Al's brother, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Go ahead, Al's brother. What do you have at number one?
This one's just more of a big picture storyline, but it's a question that I think we're all going to be having over the course of the next couple of weeks, is what does this Final Four look like? Right? Like, first, in terms of who's going to be in the Final Four, who knows? We already talked about the parity and what the lineups or what the matchups are and the path for each team and how difficult they are. But once they get to the Final Four, where are they going to play? Is the Canadian team going to play in Canada? Are they going to relocate them down to the South? Is there going to be fans allowed in the stands in those games? Are they going to bubble up the Final Four? There are so many questions that I have that have not been answered, that I know questions are going to start popping up as time goes on. So this is more of a big picture thing, but I think it's a massive, massive storyline as we go through with the playoffs.
I totally concur. I mean, I think you're looking at reseeding for the first time, I think, ever. Right, where you're going to have a situation where you could have as many as three teams from the East in the conference final and three teams in the West.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. So you could have a situation like that where you're looking at it and you're like, okay, the Lightning, the Bruins and the Leafs are all in the conference final. Like, that is a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Or you could have Edmonton and Colorado and, you know, whoever it is up the, I guess, Nashville, you know, or right. whatever. And that would be your conference final. And that's a scenario that could also play out. I think the Canadian angle, I know over the weekend, I believe it was, the NHL issued a statement or came out through the media. They need an answer from the Canadian government. I'm not holding my breath. I think they're going south. I don't think they're playing up here. But you're right. I mean, it is going to be the most unique Final Four we've ever seen based on the way everything can shake out.
And then even like the advantage of the American teams having fans in the stands where the Canadian teams haven't played with that.
Right. Do so they bubble up? Like, exactly. I don't know if they're going to bubble or not. I don't get the impression like they're going to. The players don't want to. But the Canadian team is going to factor into that because someone's going to be there. You know, that's another thing. You're guaranteed a Canadian team in the Final Four. That's not always guaranteed.
Yep.
Yep. I agree. You know, it'll be unique, but you know, we'll see how it unfolds. I mean, by then, that's going to be what, like June, late June, early July, right?
July, so,
yep.
World might look different a little
bit.
It
very well could. Knock on wood. You never know. You just never know these days, Noodles. You never know.
I know.
Good stuff, Al's brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy, as always. We'll do it again soon. We'll catch up with you later in the week.